I want you to picture yourself sitting in your car, going through your emails, looking for an address. Once you finally find it buried amongst all the spam, you click on it and go to Google Maps and you sigh a breath of relief that the house that you're going to is only 5 minutes away. Because as per usual, you're always late. Why would you change now? And so you sit there and you do that double check. You know, my house is locked. I've got my keys. I've got my phone. I've got my wallet. Okay, I think I got everything. And so you're ready to go. You pull out of the driveway. You make your way to the destination. And as you squint looking for addresses, you're just praying that you figure out which house it is because you're sort of confused and it's dark because it's late at night. And then it's obvious. Inside that breath of relief because there's a whole bunch of cars parked out front and you see someone you know, thank goodness, going into the house. And so you go up to the house, but just before you ring the doorbell, take a deep breath. It's your first night at community group. How do you feel? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you feeling guilty? Indifferent? How do you feel? Well, I want to invite a friend of mine from my community group up to share her story about her first experience joining our community group. So, Angela, would you come up? So, everyone, this is my friend Angela. And I've invited Angela to come share because she has an experience that I think is like the experience of many of us when we join a community group. And so I thought it might be helpful for her to share what her experience was like of that first moment going in and then what she saw as the benefits of sticking through potentially some of the painful moments at the beginning.
Hello.
We're an honest group, so we just get right to it. I love it. Thanks so much, Angela. But as a church, we're in this season where we're talking about growing deeper, and we've committed ourselves together and as individuals to saying, okay, we want to encounter God's Holy Spirit more. We want to become more and more like Jesus. And so what does that look like? And as a church, we said, okay, there's six essentials that we're saying that we need to commit to in terms of following Jesus. And you'll see the list behind me, but this morning we're focusing on growing in a community group as you can gather. And as we do that this morning, I want us to do it by looking at four questions. The first is, what is a community group? So let's all just get on the same page of what we're saying when we say that term. Second, what does the Bible say about being in a community group or community groups at all? And then what can we expect from community and what shouldn't we expect? What's the thing that we just should not consider as being a part? And so let's start with, what is a community group? Well, here at Emmanuel, community groups are really the method that we employ in order to follow the Great Commission and different commandments that God has given us through Scripture. And practically speaking, it's the way we keep our church family small as we grow larger. It's a way that we make sure people have community even as our Sunday gatherings grow. And so we have these different groups, which are typically groups of about 4 to 12 adults who meet regularly, and in our groups we study God's word, we care for each other, we pray, and all of that is in order to further the church's vision and mission that we have, that we have been called to by God. And it's helpful to have these groups because in these groups, different people can share doubts and express questions, and they can build personal relationships with one another and practice living out the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, in their everyday lives. So it's not just about Sunday mornings, but it's something that continues with us throughout the week. And in fact, as a church, we have gone full board on this. Like, we are all in because everything we do is made up of community groups. If you were to go upstairs right now to our children's ministry, you would notice that they're all broken up into different age groups, which in some ways is helpful for teaching. But what we're intentionally trying to do is gather the kids together in clusters so that they can learn about God's love for them, so they can learn how to interact and build community. So this can be something that sets a foundation for them as they grow up. And then in the same way, our youth ministry does the exact same thing. Our youth ministry, sure, they do great fun events. They have wonderful discussions that Drew leads. But at the heart of it, what they do is they gather around community groups in order to be able to discuss and talk and live out what they're learning so that it's not just a lecture that's given by Drew. It's not just a fun event, but it goes into everything. And so that's what we're doing together as a church as we gather. We're really not one big church that has small groups. We're a church that is made up of many small groups, and we operate that way together. And so we feel like we need to be full in on this vision because it's also what we believe God calls us to do and one of the ways that God works. And so let's look at what a biblical case for community groups might look like. Now, if you were to go searching through your Bible and say, okay, I'm going to look for the section on community groups, you're not going to find it. I'm just going to be upfront. You're not going to turn to a page and there's going to be this nice diagram there that outlines how it should be and what a meeting night should look like and all those sorts of things. But what we can see as we study the New Testament is different stories and different teachings and different commands that allow us to sort of bring and put these things together to say, okay, this is what we think God is calling us towards. And so we can start with the easiest place to see a small group that takes place around Jesus, which is, well, Jesus and his 12 disciples. And so we see Jesus, he gathers around 12 individuals, and he starts to live life with them. He talks, and they discuss teaching, they pray for each other, they travel around, they eat with one another. They, in essence, do everything that they can together as a small group. And he did that for a purpose. He did that to help this group of men become the men he wanted them to be to further his mission. And we see that that's actually what ends up happening, that after Jesus is crucified and he dies and he's resurrected, he comes back and he speaks to these men and then he ascends back into heaven. And so the men now are left as being the people to start the church. And so they start the church gathering people around the message of Jesus. Those who have already seen Jesus and encountered him have started coming together, but they start to spread the news and they start to gather. And quickly we see that there's a gathering of about 3,000 to 5,000 people who show up and get together. And so they gather and they're all together, but what do? They start to, in the midst of that, still break off into little clusters and meet in each other's homes. Last week we talked about what does the church do and why do we do some of the things we do, and this is seated right in the midst of that in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. In 46, you'll see that they decided to meet in each other's homes and break bread and share with one another. But we see that they saw the value and the intentionality of what Jesus did and said, hey, we got to keep this going in order to continue to grow God's church. And we see that God continued to do that. And so we have a couple examples, but one of the things that we need to learn whenever we study Scripture is there's descriptive passages in Scripture and there's prescriptive passages in Scripture. And so these are descriptive passages, but basically what that is the writer is describing what happened. And that doesn't necessarily say that we should do everything that is within that written section. For an example, if you're not following along, read the book of Judges. And you're going to quickly see that there's a lot of stuff described that is definitely not prescribed. God says, here's a lot of these judges who went to do things, and they made terrible life choices that impacted themselves and their entire kingdom. So just because something is in Scripture and it's descriptive, it's there for a good purpose. We know that, and we're told that God uses all of Scripture, but it's not necessarily saying this is the exact model that you have to do. And so then we go to prescriptive passages, which are passages that are in Scripture that actually prescribe, like a doctor would write on his notepad a prescription, this is what you need to get better. There are passages in Scripture that are essentially saying, okay, here's what you need to do in order to grow, or in order to be healthy, or in order to be who Jesus is calling you to be. And so what we do is we take these two things, these descriptive passages and these prescriptive passages, and we pull them together. Now, we have these descriptive passages, so what are the prescriptive passages? Well, one of these passages is in the book of Hebrews. And this author is writing and they say, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so this author has taken time and takes time in this book looking at the faith and the history of what God has been doing through his people. And he says, we're in these days where we certainly have a lot against us. And so what we need to do, what you need to do, church, is you need to gather together and you need to consider, how can you love each other? How can you encourage one another as all of these things are going on? We also have another passage, and this is the one, if you've got your Bible with you, I want you to make sure you're turned there and you're going to plant in this verse today, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And there we find the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this. He says, from him, that's Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is, these are serious things that we're discussing. These are instructions. These are prescribed directions for our health and for our growth. And what Paul is doing here in this particular verse is he's taking a very common image that many of us know if we've been around the church, which is that the church is a body where Jesus is the head of the body, and then each one of us are interconnected and using every part, God plans to build us up and help us to grow and help us to accomplish our work, which is advancing the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more next week about our roles and how God has hardwired us and given us gifts to accomplish his mission. But for this morning, I want us to just sort of take note of these verses here in Ephesians as to what we do. Why do we do what we do? Well, we do what we do as a community group church because everyone has a role to play, and we need one another to be supporting and encouraging and spurring each other on, so pushing each other forward. And as much as we love Sundays, and Sundays has a really important place in doing all that, we can't accomplish all of that here this morning. There's just no way. We would never make it to the end of the day if everyone did every piece of everything they were supposed to accomplish in one day. And so we spread it out. And one of the ways we do that is we take these examples that were good and that God used, and we say, hey, there's something we can learn from that as we try to apply what God has prescribed to us. So he's telling us that we need to meet together, that we need to encourage each other, that we need to love each other on. Jesus himself modeled a way of doing that, which is in small groups. His early followers did that. And so we've sort of brought those things together as a practical way of accomplishing what God is calling us to do. And so we gather in homes, in community groups throughout the week to be the church, to actually do what we're supposed to do and to accomplish what God is calling us to do. Now, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I thanks Angela for being honest, but I, like Angela, have gone through times in my life where going to community group is the last thing I want to do. I have sat there and I've gone, man, I've been at church all day long. I don't want to go be the church. I've had times where I've gone and I've said, you know, like there's a part of my job which is study and planning and teaching, but I just really don't want to go somewhere where I have to have all the answers. Like I just, that idea just isn't something that excites me. And what I want to share as we go through this in some of these little sections here of what we should expect from community group and what we shouldn't is to teach you some of the lessons that I've been learning along the way as I've been going through this. And what I've come to realize is those feelings that I have are real feelings, but they're not really well grounded. Those thoughts and reasons I might have for not committing to a community group aren't a good reason not to be in community group. And the first reason is, of course, is this found in Ephesians, that Jesus is the head of the body, and he teaches us we're supposed to be like him. And then, so if he's modeled this thing of being in community and being in a small group as a way of building each other up to be like Jesus, who am I to disagree? Really, who am I? I have to consider that. If this is the model that's been laid before me, if this stuff has been prescribed, who do I think I am to say, no, this isn't for me? The second thing that I've realized as I've been trying to consider, okay, are these opinions, are these feelings maybe valid as I consider this, is what are the root issues when I think about some of these reasons why I don't want to be in community group? And if I'm honest, sometimes they come from a place of insecurity or doubt or arrogance. And that's convicting. Thankfully, I have God and a wonderful wife who have helped me to realize some of those things, and I really, truly have come to realize that those things aren't feelings. Those things aren't opinions that God has given to me. Those are things that I have as excuses to keep me from what God is calling me to do. They are things that I need to work on, and if I'm honest, if I go to community group and open up, I'm going to have to deal with some of those things. And so I am so thankful to God and to my wife and to my community group who tolerates me and teaches me that I've actually, through those three, through God, through my wife, and through my community group, come to realize that there is great value in being a part of how God is at work this way in my life and in the life of other people. So that makes me question, then, what should I expect? Like, if this is how God wants to use us together, if this is a great way that we have bought into philosophically as a church, well, what should I expect from a community group or at community group? And I think there's three things that we can easily see here in Hebrews and especially in Ephesians. And the first is that we should expect that there will be help to grow and build up in our faith. In both of these passages that we just read, we see there's an emphasis on helping one another. In the Hebrews passage, we read that we should spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and we should encourage each other. Here in Ephesians, we find that we are bound together, and when together we grow and build up as God's body. Now, I know I shouldn't be surprised, especially because God has told us this in his word, but I'm often amazed how often I walk away from community group with something to chew on. Like something to that leaves me wrestling with God or wrestling with myself that I need to consider. And it's not necessarily always because of the discussion that happens in the Bible study, even though oftentimes that's where God teaches me and gives me stuff to wrestle through. But sometimes it's just through the conversation that happens. Our group gathers and we have dinner for the first hour. And I think there's 22 of us in total. There's a bunch of adults and all their kids. And we do dinner together. And then we go into our discussion time. And through all of that, there's all these different interactions that happen. There's interactions with adults and their kids and people and other people's kids. And there's just conversation about life and work and for our group, parenting. And we go through all that, and I'm amazed how often I'm struck and God will speak to me through what someone else said or what someone else does, where I sit there and go, man, I need to grow in this. This is an area maybe that I'm not trusting God in. Maybe this is an area that I have a personal failing that I need to account for. And so often there's just these moments in our discussion where someone will say something and I'm like, wow, I had never thought about my faith this way or God this way or my conception of something around the church. And so then I need to lean into that. And so I think we can come, based on what God says in his word and my experiences, that we can come with an expectation that as individuals and together as a community that we're going to grow in our faith because God designed us to learn in community and work that way. The second thing, which you see on the screen there, is that we should expect love and support from others. Jesus instructed us. He put the onus on us as the people of God to love one another. And we actually see that in John chapter 13, Jesus says, this is how people who aren't even Christians are going to know that you really are my people, by the way that you love one another. And here again in Hebrews, and then in Ephesians, there's this emphasis on the fact that we should be caring about one another. A community group should be a place where we support each other's faith and we encourage each other in our walks with God, right? Ephesians 4:16, that we grow and build ourselves up in love. But sometimes we have to be realistic that this might look like different things. Sometimes the way we love one another is by praying for each other. Sometimes it's by taking the time to meet each other's physical needs that we might have. Other times it can look like tough love. We have to be there and we have to challenge each other to keep from growing stagnant. And for those who aren't participating, we have to encourage them on. Spurring isn't a very nice thing. If you've ever ridden a horse with spurs, it's something you use to kind of kick the horse to make it go faster. And you do that sometimes lovingly to get it out of a situation it shouldn't be in. But you use them to push each other forward. And so we do this. And we push each other and we care for each other, not to make people feel guilty, not to make people feel challenged, not to make someone seem superior, but because we need to foster an environment in which we can all feel comfortable and we can all grow. And honestly, this is one of the reasons that I'm so thankful for my group. My group is a place where we don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect. And if you ask my community group, they'll certainly tell you, they might not give you all the details, but they'll tell you how messed up I am and how often I fall short. And they'll tell you that I don't always have the right answers, but that's what I love about my community group. Because how many places in our lives do we have to be ourselves? Like really, where can you go that you can be yourself? I would bet you can't do it at work. I would bet at work you have to have the answers that you need to know for your position, or there's a cost to it. I would guess within a lot of your friend circles, there's a certain level of appearances that you have to keep up in order to feel like you are a part of that group. Really, where can you go that you can just truly be you? Where can you go that is designed intentionally to care for you, to encourage you, and to support you without any requirement from you to meet a certain level of achievement? I would argue one of the very few places you can go in this world is to the church, and in particular to a community group where you have a small gathering that clusters together to love and care for you. Doesn't mean we don't need to work on things. It doesn't mean you're not going to find opportunities to be challenged and pushed. It doesn't mean that you're always going to get along or you're going to walk away from every group going, man, things are perfect, but it should be a place where you can be loved and supported because that's what Jesus calls us to do. The third thing that you can expect is that there is a role for you to play within your community group. Again, in Ephesians, we see that we're all held together and we're all growing in love as what? He says, as each part does its work. Going to community group isn't about being a consumer. In fact, most often when we learn or grow anywhere, in any aspect of life, how do we learn? We learn by participating, by doing, by having a role to play. We learn that in the workplace, right? Someone might come alongside of you and tell you all the policies and procedures, but it's there as you start to actually put into practice what you've learned that you start to grow. And so God designed us in this way, and God wants us to work in a way that we all participate as a mechanism to help us grow. You know, there will be days when you show up at community group and you're completely spent and you've got nothing left in you and you have the part that week, those few weeks, where you just need to be loved and encouraged and supported and cared for, and that's the role your group will play for you. But it's not a healthy thing to live like that. Think about when you get an injury. Have you ever hurt your foot? I remember breaking one of the bones in my foot, and what did I start to do is I started to compensate, right? And I started to get this lean going on my body so that I wouldn't be putting pressure on this foot. Well, is it healthy for me to always stay like this, to never deal with that injury? No, because slowly that starts to twist me and cause me to be in an uncomfortable and unhealthy position. The same thing is true of our groups. There are times when we have to compensate for each other, when we have to care for each other, when we have to nurture one another, but it's not healthy for our groups to stay that way. Every single one of us is supposed to play a role, and the role isn't that of being a leech. You're there to contribute. You're there to build one another up. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, so many of us go to community group every single week. I think we're around 50% of our weekly Sunday attendance is in a community group. And when you go to community group, do you go, okay, I got a role to play this week? Because if you don't, you're missing out on something that God is calling you to do and something that God is going to use to build up you and others. So I think these are three things that we can expect from a community group. But what about the things that we can't expect? What are the things that we just shouldn't rely on when we show up to community group? And the first one of this is that people will counsel you through all your problems. One of the things we do when we find an environment of love and we find an environment where we can be ourselves is sometimes we start to open up, and that's a great thing. But one of the unhealthy things, and again, this ties into that role we have to play, is to just be always on the pouring out of yourself and having and hoping that people are going to pick up all your pieces and put them together. The chances are there is no one in your community group who is a trained and licensed counselor. And if they are, leave them alone. They're not at work. Right? There is an element that we're there to encourage and support in each other. One of the things I love about our group is we have a couple in our group who is further ahead in the stage of parenting than we are. And we look up to them. Amy and I are able to look at them and their parenting and learn from them and have them encourage us. And we've sometimes expressed stuff that it's like, oh, this is something we're wrestling with our kids and they're able to help us. But my expectation isn't suddenly that they're going to counsel me through everything to do with my kids, all my personal finances, everything that there is to do with all of my insecurities and doubts and arrogance and all that. No, that's not a healthy thing, is it? We know that, so we shouldn't come with an expectation that that will happen. The second thing we shouldn't come with an expectation is that we have an answer to all things spiritual at community group. We shouldn't expect that all of a sudden everyone's going to pour everything into us and we have every spiritual answer that we ever are to expect to learn. This is about mutual discipleship. It's not about having all the answers. It's about us encouraging each other and building each other up. And some of us are farther ahead in one place, and some of us are farther ahead in another. And so we start to implement those things and help each other. But this is a journey we're on together. No one arrives at a destination. Even within the Bible, it tells us in the scriptures that we will never fully arrive until one day we are with God himself, when we will start to have all those answers. And so I want us to understand that there isn't an answer for everything there. And it's also why when we talk about having a discipleship plan that we do more than just rely on community groups. There's six different elements that we talk about because we want to create a more holistic picture that we are working towards. And just for a moment, for you who are community group leaders, let me say this to you. You don't have to have all the answers. Community group leaders, I know so often so many of us come and we want to have the answers. We want to teach other people. We feel like there's this burden upon us and we say, hey, I got to know when someone asks that question what the answer is. But no, you don't. You don't. Don't have an expectation that you're Jesus. Just try and do your best. And sometimes one of the most helpful things you can do as a community group leader is to say, hey, team, we're studying this week, and I have no idea what it means. What do you think? And allow that conversation to be a part of the discipleship that you are doing together. The third thing that we should not expect is a great and fun time every time. One of the great things about our community groups is that we get to make relationships with people. Our group gets to do this. We went camping this summer. We've done some fun things together. We have dinners together. And we try to have a good time. We really do. And we try to build these relationships that we hope are going to be long-lasting. But the reality is if we come to community group with an expectation that that's what community group is, we're actually missing out on the vision. The vision is for us to grow and build one another up. You can't build a muscle without putting some strain in, right? You can't grow without there being some type of resistance at times. And so sometimes you are going to come to community group and you're going to talk about things that might make you uncomfortable because you don't want to deal with it within your own life. And that's okay. Actually, it's a good thing that we come and are prepared to grow. It's a good thing that we have those who care about us enough who say, you know what, that thing that's going on in your life, you need to deal with it. It's a good thing to have those who will challenge us and create those awkward moments, because they're not actually awkward moments, they're learning moments. They're moments that are holy moments in which God wants to work and speak to us. That's a good thing. That it's not a fun time every time. And so think about that as you go into your community group and ask yourself, am I in the place where I can ask others to challenge me or to question me or to wrestle through things with me? Because I think you'll find the healthier time, the better time in the long run, will be in those moments of learning where you'll be able to look back and celebrate with one another what you have come through. So we have all this. We have maybe a biblical and philosophical case for why we do it. We have some expectations of what we can and what we shouldn't expect from our community group. So where do we go from here? Well, I would say that this is a major step in discipleship. So if you're not in a group, you should join a group. You might not land in the very first group you get in. You might get put into a group and it might not be the right group and fit for you, and that's something that you can learn and grow through, and maybe you go to another group, but maybe that discomfort is what God wants to use in you as well. And so consider joining a group and allowing yourself to be open up to how God wants to speak to you through other people, how God wants to love and support you through the people of this church. Now, if you're in a group, the thing that I want you to do this week is I want you to evaluate your group. There's a discussion guide that we're putting out on the website and emailing to community group leaders each week so you can follow along with the sermon series. But the one thing that we didn't put in there, but I want you to put in there this week, is to evaluate ourselves. Not in a sense that you're going to pick apart one another or talk about what's wrong with your group in the big sense, but get a sense of, is discipleship happening in our group? Are we actually mutually caring for one another? Evaluate your place. Am I playing a role within this that's contributing to other people? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we balanced? Are we having those fun and wonderful moments where we build relationship, but at the same time we're having those moments where we challenge each other and help each other to grow? Ask yourself those questions. If you're one of our new groups that's starting this fall, say, what are we going to do to make sure that we have the balance that we should have so we build each other up? And then the third question is, find your role. If you're in a group and you don't already have a role, what's your role? What can I bring to the table each and every week? Sometimes for some of us, it means that we show up and we're good teachers and we're good studiers. And so we wrestle with maybe the Bible study portion. We can contribute and help people. There's some of us who you are the person who remembers everything in the conversation. And so your piece is being the person who brings things back. Hey, remember we prayed about that a few weeks ago? How can we pray for that again? How can we care for you? How can we do this follow-up piece of loving and supporting each other? Maybe you're the hospitable person. Maybe you're the person who helps people feel at ease and comfortable, and when new people join your group, you help them sort of settle in and make the connections and do all that. What is your role beyond an official role? Are you prepared to participate? There is nothing worse in a community group than a leech. The person who just comes unprepared and they just want to suck off what everybody else has learned and done and take it all in for themselves. Are you there to participate, to help others grow, to help others learn and develop into the people God wants them to be? For some of us, the next step is to apprentice to lead a group. Have you considered how God might want to use you in a capacity of leadership or teaching to help grow and flourish the ministry that's happening here at the church? One of the best ways to do that is to have a conversation with Pastor Dennis or have a conversation with your community group leader and learn and grow from those who have done it before you to learn the skills that you need to help others start new groups. And another thing you might consider is starting a group. Whether you're the leader or you're not in a group. And so maybe we don't have a group that fits on your certain night of the week, but you are sensing that this needs to happen. You can help initiate the starting of a new group. We don't do this just because it's something that we can celebrate as a goal, and we do have a goal as a church. We said, hey, we want to see 65% of adult attenders in community groups. But we didn't set that as some number to just say, okay, we can accomplish a goal and check, it's done. We said, no, God really wants us to do this, and we want at least 2/3 of our people regularly plugged in. We're hoping the other third is new people to the church and people who are coming to know Jesus, but those who are at our core, the big majority, we want them plugged in because they are missing out. We are missing out. You are missing out if you're not a part of a group. And so consider it. Ask God to tell you what you need to do next. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the fact that you are our head, that you are the person above the body of this local church who gives us wisdom, who gives us guidance, who gives us your word. God, I pray that we would listen to you, that we would grow into becoming more like you. God, as we work together as a church, would you help us to accomplish what you are calling us to. God, would you help us to see the value in working together and to helping each other grow, into investing in each other's lives. God, for some, I know it's a scary thing, and they think about those things like when Angela shared at the beginning of some of those things we wrestle with in our own hearts and lives, and God, it seems so scary. God, help us to just trust and relax into you and your promises and how you want things to go. God, for those of us who are in a community group, would you help us to grow in how we do it? Would you help us to sense how we need to better lean into building up your body, to building up each other? God, I pray everyone this week in a community group would be encouraged, that they would be loved, that they would be supported, that this week even people would be willing to come in and let down their guard a little bit and expose who they really and truly are. And would they then allow you to use that to speak to them through others? God, for those who lead our groups, God, I thank you for them. I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their time. I thank you for their desire to follow you. God, would you use them greatly as they lead these groups to help connect the pieces of your body together so that we can grow together.